Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back on this Wednesday, Raider Nation Radio. This is Silver and Black Today, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234, because you deserve what's right. Thanks, Raider Nation, for being with us again here on a cloudy, rainy day in Las Vegas, the capital of Raider Nation, the home of the Silver and Black in the state of Nevada, the Silver State, as we call it. Welcome back, everybody. You can take part in the show. We're going to get through a lot of stuff today. 702-365-9200 is the Raider Nation Radio Listener Hotline. You get on the phone, you dial in, we'll put you on the air. Just don't be sucky. Just make sure you got a good take when you call, and we will get you on the air. And joining me, as he does every Monday and Wednesday, my partner on those days is none other than everyone in Raider Nation's uncle, that, of course, the publisher of the Raider Maven website on SportsIllustrated.com. That, of course, is Mr. Hondo Carpenter. Hondo, you fired up again today, as always?
I am absolutely ready. We are going to have an amazing show today, and I just hope people, before you pick up the phone and dial, don't interrupt what we're doing unless you can contribute to it. Don't be that idiot in class when the teacher starts talking about going to Disneyland and says, oh, and you're like, yes, I've been there. Nobody cares. If you call, don't suck. Bring something to the table.
Yes, absolutely. And it's so funny, Hondo. After Monday's show, I'm perusing what Q calls the cesspool of Twitter, and there was a couple comments. It's like, well, tell Hondo to calm down. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, people today, people get excited. People are positive. Hondo, you're a really positive guy, and of course, not everybody knows you outside of the website or off your interviews on radio and television, but you're a positive guy no matter what. It doesn't matter if we're sitting at lunch or sitting at the Raiders practice facility waiting for practice to start this year. You're a positive guy. I think if you really are sitting there thinking Hondo should calm down, then maybe you should look in the mirror and say, why am I so negative? Enjoy it. Somebody's got some passion, right, Hondo? You got to bring passion to everything you do in life.
I do. And you know, one of the things I don't understand, Scott, about people is every single day that you get up, you have the choice. Is my life going to be a glass half full or a glass half empty? Yep. I got a buddy today whose three-year-old son is dying of cancer. That guy got up with the right to have a bad day. I got up with my kids wondering if my kids are going to get a paper cut. So you know what? I have a good day. I live in beautiful Henderson, Nevada. I have a wonderful job. I get to cover one of the premier professional sports franchises in the world. I'm a guy that has every reason in the world to be happy. I don't have anybody in my family that's dying. So you know what? I'm going to choose to see life through positivity. Everybody has that option. Sadly, in the world today, a lot of people choose the glass half empty. I don't have that right. I'm a blessed person. I've got great friends like you, Scott. So many wonderful things in my life. So I'm going to choose to look for the positive. I'm not going to be a Kool-Aid salesman and lie to people. I'm going to call things that the way that they are. But at the end of the day, I see things in a lot different light. And quite frankly, people that have that personality go through life a whole heck of a lot happier.
They sure do, and we appreciate you being here. And so we got a lot to get to. First of all, of course, breaking news at this hour. Jason Witten, Raiders tight end, has officially retired again. 17 years, played in the NFL, of course, the last year with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's going to sign a one-day contract with the Dallas Cowboys and retire. And, of course, I've seen a lot of people in Raider Nation who were upset that they signed him in the first place, that were upset that he, quote-unquote, took snaps from Foster Moreau, which is absolutely not true, by the way, and don't understand the value that Jason Witten brought to the team. Look, it was a disappointing 2020 season, any way you look at it. In a series of interviews over the last 2 days, General Manager Mike Mayock has said exactly that. He said what you and I and Q have said on this show for weeks and weeks, and that is all this team had to do was have a middle-of-the-road defense, and they're a playoff team. They couldn't get it done, so they weren't a playoff team. It's disappointing, but everyone disappointed doesn't mean you go out and pick each individual player and say they didn't contribute, because in this case, Hondo, you talk about somebody having an influence, and for a lot of people, maybe it's because they've never been in an organization where they understand or have worked in management or have understand staffing. But when you look at a young team and you have a young offense, especially in the tight end room, Darren Waller, an emerging and now superstar, you have Foster Moreau, a rookie coming off a serious injury. Jason Witten in that tight end room, on that offense, in that entire locker room, what his impact there was massive. And I don't think people appreciate that. I don't know that some ever will. Others will discover it over time, I'm sure.
Well, for two things, Scott. First of all, this summer we wrote at Raider Maven on Sports Illustrated that Jason Witten was brought in for two reasons. To teach a young team how to be professional, how to practice like a professional, how to study the playbook like a professional, and then on top of it, to not only lead that way, but to play a backup role and to demonstrate to guys on how do you prepare being a backup so that, you know, you're the next man up. He did all of that. Now, you may remember this because we don't do things by coincidence. A couple of weeks ago when Hunter Renfro was on, actually it was 9 days ago, we asked Hunter about Jason being a coach. And there's a reason why we ran the article based off of that interview today. We knew this was coming. And there's a lot of people that think, man, if Jason Witten wanted to take that tight end's job with the Raiders, he'd be a good fit. I'm not predicting that. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just know this. John Gruden thinks he's a coach. It's why John Gruden bought him in here. There's a lot of people that think he would be a great NFL coach. And whether or not they do it, who knows? But if he gets the consideration, I'm all in on that hire. That'd be a great hire by Gruden. And he did exactly what he's supposed to do. He didn't take snaps from anyone. I'm going to go a step farther. I think he added snaps to Foster's career because it's not very often that you get to learn from one of the greatest in the game at any position. There's been a lot of great tight ends to play in the NFL, but if you're putting a list together, the top 10, Jason Witten's probably on that list. And so when you're a Foster Moreau and you play with Darren Waller, who I believe is either 1 or 1B as far as the best one playing the game right now, and you get to play with Jason Witten, one of the top 10 of all time, Foster Moreau's a better player for Witten being here.
Yeah, no doubt. And Foster Moreau said it himself. He talked about how Witten showed him so much in the course of a year. And I think, remember, Foster Moreau coming off, and I wanted to see more Foster Moreau, I'm not going to lie. At the same time, he was coming off that injury. You don't know. We didn't have a chance to cover practice like we would have in a normal year to see how he was being used, how he was recovering from that injury. Obviously, he recovered from it. It just takes a little bit of time to get back to 100%. And you're right. He saved him snaps. So when Foster Moreau hits the field in preseason in camp this year, he's going to be raring to go and ready to go, and that to me is a big deal. So Jason Witten, you know, there's a lot of jokes going around and all that stuff, but I think it was a good move by the Raiders. It's one of those moves that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but not everything does. I hate to tell everybody, yes, it's a game. It's about winning and losing, no question about it. But at the same time, at certain points when you're building an organization, you need that sage veteran there. You need that sage influence. And I think that the entire offense, and I bet, you know, if you talk to Derek Carr about it too, he had a positive impact on Derek Carr as well. And you saw the Raiders' offense get better. It tailed off at the end of the year. There's no question that shows up in the stat book. But what I will tell you is the offense got better. Jason Witten had a big piece of that, so that's very good news. And we certainly appreciate him. And I'm going to talk about him in my winners and losers segment too. Also, on the show today, Hondo, though, we're going to get into a couple things that I really want to talk about, and I know you do too, and that is, you know, the Senior Bowl is going on right now. We're seeing all that. We talked to Vinny. We'll talk to Vinny later in the show too about what he saw today. But the Combine is gone. Is the loss of the Combine, the NFL Combine, which has become a televised event now, it used to be just a bunch of guys showing up and watching kids work out. Now it's become a full-fledged event. It has been canceled for this year. Is that a big deal for teams and for players? So we're going to talk about that in relation to the Senior Bowl. Does the Senior Bowl take on increased importance? And what does it say for scouting departments in the NFL? I think those teams that don't have great scouting departments, they're going to get exposed after this year. Then, top of the hour, Hondo, one of the things I want to talk about, because we're still a week away, I know, but we're a week away from the NFL completing its entire season during the worst pandemic we've seen in our lifetime. That in itself is a huge accomplishment. What can other sports learn from it? And what were some of the reasons? So we're going to talk about that. Then at 3:20, Noah Strang, a staff writer at silverandblacktoday.com, also writes for the NHL, for various sites in the NHL. He's going to be with us and talking about why the Raiders could draft or maybe draft or at least look at some young quarterbacks, some rookie quarterbacks, and why they might draft one in later rounds. And he's going to highlight three guys for us to take a look at. And then we'll check in with Vinny Bonsignore at the end of the show live from the Senior Bowl to see what's going on down in Birmingham, Alabama. But Hondo, you know, you look at the news across the league, it's still being dominated by this conversation with quarterbacks. We now find out that the Los Rams have, in essence, intimated that, hey, Jared Goff, you're going to have to compete for your job. So you have the Jared Goff situation. You have the Stafford situation, which we talked to and you have insight into, obviously, because of your sources and connections back in Michigan. Then you have the Aaron Rodgers thing. You have Deshaun Watson. A lot of the media is starting to build up. I don't know how true it's going to be, but they're starting to build up this case that this could be a big year for quarterbacks making moves in the NFL. I'm not so sold in on that. I don't think it's going to be as big as people think it is. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely drinking something if you don't think this is going to be the biggest quarterback offseason of my lifetime, and I'm turning 50 in just a few weeks. I'm going to tell you this. Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz. I think I said, if I didn't, Matthew Stafford, there are going to be so many, plus all the drafts. I said on Monday's show, Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go anywhere. They're not going to let him go, but this is going to be a massive offseason. I've checked in on a lot of these situations, and as we dig into that, I'm going to have a little bit more insight. You may remember I said on Monday's show, I didn't talk to Matthew, but a source very, very close to Matthew said nothing's done, nothing's, you know, anywhere there. But if they were guessing, they're hearing that San Francisco would probably have the inside route, but that's nowhere near done or anything that's complete. Could you imagine even if Dallas said, hey, you know what, Dak, you know, we're not happy with your progress there. Somehow, if he ended up going home to Dallas. I mean, there are so many moving pieces. And I'm going to say this to you. Because I don't think Rodgers is going anywhere, I think Matthew Stafford is the biggest quarterback who will make an impact next year. Now, does he have a career left of a Deshaun Watson? No. But if you're talking about immediate impact quarterbacks next season, Matthew Stafford is the Tom Brady of this year. And you put him in a team that's ready, like San Francisco, I think they instantly, regardless of what happens in the Super Bowl, become the front runner for the NFC next year. Matthew Stafford is the best quarterback that most people don't know because he's on the absolute worst run organization in all of professional sports. The Detroit Lions are not the worst run team in the NFL. They are the worst run professional sports. Somewhere there is a peewee professional mini golf team that's better than the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions are an utter embarrassment. Yes. And Matt Stafford's been, think about this one, the best two players at their position in team history, Calvin Johnson, who I know very well in his family, and Barry Sanders both walked away from the game, leaving tens of millions on the table because they didn't want to play for the organization. When is the last time somebody walked away leaving millions on the table saying, I don't even want your money. Go away.
No, I agree with you. Although I, and you're right about Stafford, I think, being the big one out there. Deshaun Watson, clearly. But as far as a team that's ready to make the jump, to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers model that they used this year, in essence, which is, hey, we're going to go upgrade at that spot, maybe a couple other little additions as well. But to me, that is absolutely true, that he will be the big domino for – there's a couple teams there. Like you said, San Francisco seems to be the natural fit there as well. And Dallas would be intriguing if they
now,
if they
Scott, can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, and I want you to tell the people whether I'm lying or not. But on this show, I say things, and then people run and quote me and say, Hondo said stuff I didn't say. I am not saying a deal is done with San Francisco. I'm not even saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying people close say if they had to pick now who they think is the front runner, it would probably be San Francisco, but not saying it's done or anything else. He's got $43 million left on his deal, and he's got 2 years left. That's a super very cap-friendly deal for a starting quarterback at his quality. Yeah. But I want to make sure clear, because some guy in his basement is about to say something that isn't true, and his girlfriend, .jpeg, is then going to go on another message board, and then probably one of my competing colleagues will call it trash. But at the end of the day, I'm just saying, people close to him think that San Francisco's probably the lead, but nothing's close, nothing's imminent.
Right. And listen, in this game, in the media game, whether you're a print journalist, whether you're a radio host, whether you're a TV anchor, you report things. Sometimes you're accurate with those things, meaning they come to fruition. And sometimes they might have been true at the time and things change over time. Time tells. So if you want to see if Hondo's prediction or not prediction, I should say, it wasn't a prediction. If Hondo is on this one, then you just wait and see and then you can come back and talk. But yeah, people want to. There's always these gotcha moments. Everybody wants to gotcha on everything, and it's funny how that happens, and it doesn't need to be competitive, but some people want to make it competitive. But Hondo, it's that time of the day, real quick here, before we get to the break, where we talk about all the winners and losers in the world of sports. It is time for our winners and losers of the day.
In life and sports, not everyone gets it right. The line between brilliance and ignorance is a fine one, and Scott is here to call them out. It's time for today's winners and losers.
Okay, Hondo, I know we talked about it at the top of the show, but my winner for today is Jason Witten, because Jason Witten's going to walk away from the game still healthy. And not only that, his Hall of Fame career on the field speaks for itself. But the one thing also that you have to know about Jason Witten, that if you look at the history of his career, what he did in Dallas and what he did in just his 1 year here in Las Vegas, was he was a great guy off the field. He's a great human being, involved in every community he's done. He never got in any trouble. He's always been a class act for whatever organization he was in, and that includes his stint on Monday Night Football, which a lot of people like to make fun of. I didn't think he was all that bad, but nonetheless, he took on the risk. He took on the challenge of doing that, so it shows you what kind of guy he is. So as he walks away from the game as a player, I think he'll still be involved in many ways. He is my winner of the day.
My winner, I have to go back to June of 2006. My very good buddy, Randy Walker, was the head coach at Northwestern, and I had literally just spent a day with him, and he suddenly passed away. And in one of the things we ironically talked about that day is whenever his tenure at Northwestern came to an end, he wanted Pat Fitzgerald to be his successor. And nobody wanted it to happen that close. But in June of 2006, when Randy passed away, Pat got promoted. And 15 years later, he's 106-81. And this is a guy that's absolutely had two 10-win seasons at Northwestern, four straight bowl victories, two Big Ten West Division championships in 3 years. This guy's done nothing but win at probably the most difficult Power 5 school to win at, not named Vanderbilt.
Right.
And he's done it right. Multiple NFL teams have tried to hire him. He's turned down Michigan multiple times in other Power 5 elite schools because it's his home and it's where he's at. And when he signed his last contract extension, I happened to be with him at the time, and he was joking about telling his kids, all right, I'm going to take you to Walmart and you can get one thing of whatever you want. And Pat is one of the most frugal, awesome dads, husbands, coaches. And Northwestern just rewarded him today with a 10-year contract, which means he's going to be having coached there 25 years. This will probably be his last deal. He's one of the good guys in the business. He's one of the people that being at home is all that he ever wanted to do. He wins. He does it the right way. These are people who've come and offered Brinks truckloads of money, but he wouldn't leave. And so to me, my hat is off. He's my friend, or I just texted him a little while ago, and he's a winner. He does it the right way. And to my buddy, Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach of Northwestern, Pat, couldn't have happened to a better man. You are proof that good things happen to good people. Congratulations to him and Northwestern.
Yeah, amazing job he's done there. And you're right, it is a tough school. There is no room for academic slacking at Northwestern, and that's why they struggled for so long before those two coaches came in and have really created a winner and a special culture there, which if you follow the Big Ten, you know how true that is. Okay, now we move to losers, and I just got to say this real quickly because, Hondo, I'm a baseball guy. I love baseball. It's my first love, and to me, the loser now is the Baseball Hall of Fame. The Baseball Hall of Fame didn't elect anyone to the Hall this year. No one reached the 75% of votes required to get there. And it was funny because I tuned into the end of JT's show and he had an interview about this. And I absolutely agree with JT on this and his guest, which is the voting for the Hall of Fame was established in 1936. It's an outdated mode. And yes, Barry Bonds took steroids. Yes, Roger Clemens took steroids. The only reason we know those things is because of court documents. There's a lot of guys in the Hall of Fame in baseball, in football, and basketball as well, who are on steroids. I don't excuse them for taking it, but all I know is that during that time, during that steroid era, and I believe me, there's nobody who dislikes Barry Bonds more than me, but his numbers are there. You cannot just selectively hold these guys out. I think it's wrong, including Curt Schilling, who I know has created a crap storm over some of his personal beliefs and the things he said over the last several years. But nonetheless, baseball is supposed to be about the numbers. It's supposed to be about what you did on the field. And all of those guys really had the opportunity to get in. Clemens, Bonds, and Schilling, and they should have been in. And again, the Baseball Hall of Fame shows, and baseball shows why it's dying, because it won't do anything to change the course of the direction of the sport and of its Hall of Fame.
All right, my loser is your opinion, and I'm going to tell you why.
I love it.
Let me tell you how I feel about the game. And for example, you know what? Pete Rose was told, come out, confess everything,
right,
and we'll let you get in. Pete Rose should be in there because he basically had a gentleman's agreement, and I think baseball should honor that. But here's the deal. Baseball lost me years ago, and it had nothing to do with the Hall of Fame. Baseball lost me because the game is slow and the game was boring. But when you say that about your opinion, we live in a society that acts like everybody deserves in the Hall of Fame. Scott, when you say that, and I know you on a personal level, and I know this isn't how you are, you sound like these guys in kids in kids sport that everybody gets a trophy.
I disagree.
My son's hockey
team.
No, hey, let me finish. My kid's hockey team, when he was 8, they went undefeated. My kid was the number one player. He scored 40 goals more than the next highest kid. So we go, they get trophies for being the champion of the league. No one else, everyone else lost 3 or more games. And they give everybody the same size trophy. And my son looks at the guy, the commissioner of the league, and goes, why is our trophy smaller? We won it. He goes, because everybody's a winner. And my son walks over and dumps his trophy in the trash and says, no thanks. Listen, when you talk about guys getting in, if you have to debate if a guy belongs there, he doesn't. And when they broke the rules, you don't get in. Period. You protect the game. And I'm going to say this. I think there's a lot of players. I think there's a lot of players from the Negro Leagues whose stats warrant being in who aren't. that should absolutely be in, then you honor them. But when you cheated the game. You cheated the game. Now, could we argue about whether or not they should have changed it? Absolutely. If you want to have that argument, let's do it. Let's have it with Sam and Ash. Let's take a libertarian approach. I'm serious. Let's take a libertarian approach.
Hondo, the thing is, at the time with the steroid, it was a steroid era. Look, there are people who are in who did as well. So my point is, you can't be selective because one guy was outed in the Mitchell report and another guy wasn't. Look, my point is, all three of those guys earned the number. They had the numbers to get in. It's not that they cheated. And that's what got them in. I disagree. I am not a give a trophy to everybody. When I coached youth baseball, competitive baseball, we would not allow our kids to take participation trophies. We wouldn't allow them to take. We didn't even tell them they were getting them. And then when they did see them, we'd say, no, you don't get that. When you win, that's when you get rewarded. Okay.
Sparkles are for winners.
That's right. But but in the case of the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is the hardest Hall of Fame to get into, okay, don't forget that. And I'm a baseball traditionalist in so many ways. So I like the very ultra-selective nature of the Baseball Hall of Fame. But you're not allowing these guys in. And to me, I just think and I believe that that is wrong because I think these guys deserved it. Whether they were on steroids or not, I understand it. And to me, I don't want cheating either. It's part of the reason I don't like Barry Bonds. But if you look at that whole era, and you can put an asterisk, you can do whatever you want. You talked about Pete Rose. I agree with you on Pete Rose, but Pete Rose also cheated. And yes, they had the gentleman's agreement and they reneged on it. Total crap. I get it. But at the same time, you can't look at that and say, hey, we're going to let this guy in, but not this guy in. I just think that the voting for the Baseball Hall of Fame, as stringent as it is, that you have to account for the times in the era, the times when they didn't test for steroids and you got guys who were in there, and the times that they did test for steroids, okay, then you get it and then it's done. But to me, the baseball continues to shoot itself. It doesn't honor its history, and the history can be complete. The history can talk about these guys, and yes, they set these records, but here's the full story. After their career was over, we found out X, Y, and Z. Doesn't take away from the accomplishment, in my view, as a baseball fan, but that's me. But I'm glad you disagree because everybody gets to hear both sides of the story. All right, it's time for a break.
I still love you.
Of course, always, man. It's good. When we return from the break, we'll take your call, 702-365-9200. Tell us who you agree with. Am I wrong or is Hondo wrong? Or are we both right? And we can just call it a day on that. So give us a call, 702-365-9200. And we'll be back right after this here on Silver and Black Today, only on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
Some AC/DC, bringing us back in. That is Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio, powered by our good friend Sam and Ash, injury attorneys. Check them out at SalmonAshLaw.com. Scott Gulbranson, Hondo Carpenter back with you. We're having all kinds of fruitful discussion on football, on the Baseball Hall of Fame, who should be in, who should not. You name it, we're at it. We got some callers on the line, and I'm sure they're all going to agree with me, Hondo. So here we go. We're going first to Raider 27. Raider 27, you're on with Hondo and Scott.
Hey, Hondo.
Bring it strong, 27. You know you're my guy.
Hey, man, I'm telling you now, don't be so darn hard on the miniature, professional miniature golf. Those windmills can be devastating. Come on. I'm sitting here. I don't think I've ever seen a year where there are more good quarterbacks that are going to be available to other teams. And when you pair that with the salary cap's going to drop about $20 million next year, give or take, if no one knows what it's really going to be. But if you're a rebuilding team with cap space, you're really going to be able to turn your team around. And I think with a team like the Raiders, what I'm hoping for is, yeah, if we can afford to get a really good player that we need, go for it. But I'm not sure I'm willing to give up Nelson Aguilar, who's proven he can play well with Derek Carr and make a difference in games, or other veterans on your team that you really desperately need in order to go get a bunch of free agents that you never really know how they're going to turn out. I would rather win in January than March.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, Raider 27, because Nelson Aguilar, being a free agent, we don't know what his intentions are. We had Vic Tafer, the Athletic, kind of report, at least sort of intimate, that he was not real happy being a Raider. We haven't heard that from him himself, so we'll have to see what he has to say. But nonetheless, I hear what you're saying on that one. And Hondo, the problem I have with the quarterback thing, and I know we disagree a little bit on this too, is I'm not saying guys aren't going to move around. I just think that there's a couple guys that will have a huge impact. A Carson Wentz moving somewhere, that's not going to make somebody an instant, I think, contender in their conference to win the conference championship. But there will be names moving around and shuffling around because of what Raider 27 said and because of what you call the salary cap apocalypse coming. So we're going to see lots of movement. I just don't know if it's – I think people are thinking, you know, Aaron Rodgers and some of those guys, and I just don't think outside of Stafford and Deshaun Watson, I don't think the big names are going to be moving anywhere.
No, and I want to make it clear, Scott, you tell your listeners if I'm lying. I was the first to report on the coming salary apocalypse. I said it would probably be around $20 million, but GMs were telling me they said the bottom floor was $30 million. So, that's what they thought would be the worst. They didn't know. And, Carson Wentz doesn't go win somebody a Super Bowl. Jared Goff doesn't go somewhere and win a guy a Super Bowl. I'm going to go a step further. I don't know that Deshaun Watson at this point in his career goes and wins a guy a Super Bowl, although I think that day is coming when he gets on a better team and has a chance to mature. But I think you absolutely, Matthew Stafford, can go win a team a Super Bowl that's that close. That's why I said I think he would be the biggest instant impact, Deshaun Watson the biggest long term. But yeah, that salary cap apocalypse is going to do a lot of things, and 27 nails it. It's going to be the biggest season the biggest offseason movement of big name quarterbacks that we've seen in my lifetime, and I'm pretty near 50 years old.
All right, so there you go, Raider 27. As always, man, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling in. Next, we go to the state of my birth. We go to Corey in Illinois. Corey, you're on with Scott and Hondo here on Silver and Black today.
What's up, man? What's up? Hey Hondo, bud. I've been following you on Facebook, Hondo. I just found you, man. I knew there was something special about you, man. I watch your daily devotionals every day, man. Thank you for that.
But thank you, brother.
I'm going to piggyback with you, Hondo. If you blatantly violate the rules in professional sports, you forfeit your career. You do steroids, why would you even be considered? You cheated. You know you cheated. You know it was cheating when you were doing it. You're done, down a cooked goose. On to the next thing. I'm a diehard Raider fan, always have been, always will be, will never flip-flop, never, ever, ever. But I will say this. I do not like Derek Carr. Derek Carr has shown us what he's made of, what his limit is, in 7 years, going on eight, has never won a meaningful game, has never, like you guys said, he doesn't make nobody better. You just said, you heard Aguilar wasn't happy. What receiver has ever talked good about Derek Carr? The guy's overthrowing, underthrowing, too scared to throw, not throwing when they're wide open. And Hondo, I'm on the same thing I said the other day on the morning show, and they kind of laughed at me. Matthew Stafford is a stud. He has never had a team. He's been in Detroit his whole life. That dude is going to be, if not, should be the number one sought-out quarterback this year. And if John Gruden has any common sense, he will put whatever it takes to put that man in silver and black with our weapons, with a 20-flag defense, and we'll get it done. I believe Matthew Stafford is a Raider. He's silver and black. He's another Rich Gannon. Better sideline thrower. Look at the throws Matt Stafford makes. He's a Gruden grinder. John loves the man. He's praised the man. Bring Matthew Stafford into silver and black. I always love my Raiders, but I'm telling you, Derek Carr has showed us what he is about, and we will never be nothing but 8-8 with the Derek Carr at quarterback. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Corey.
Go ahead. I'll ask what were we going to say.
No, I was going to say, Corey, so here's the thing with Matthew Stafford. There's no way the Raiders can afford what's remaining on his contract. Would you be willing to sign Matthew Stafford if it means getting rid of 3-4 other starters on that roster?
Bye. We've got back.
So then you put Matthew Stafford in the situation he was in Detroit. You have a team that can't win. That's the point. There's the economic side of this thing. There's things that they can do to afford players in free agency, like on the defense, by some of the moves they're going to make. But I just don't think so. And I think I said this the other day. Okay, I'm not somebody who believes that Derek Carr is a bad quarterback, and I don't think he's a top five. Is he top 10? Absolutely. It shows in the numbers. But here's what I will say. In John Gruden's offense, the way he runs his offense, you do not need a Patrick Mahomes to win. It's not the same type of thing. I'm not saying that if they had that guy, they wouldn't use him. I'm just saying you look at different situations that way. Am I wrong on that one, Hondo?
No, but I want to address one thing with Corey, first of all. Corey, I appreciate the fact that you're one of the few people that says, hey, I don't like Derek, and all of your reasoning has to do with on the field. Now, I disagree with you. I think he is a top 10 quarterback. I think he's a guy that can win. I think he's a lot like Matthew Stafford. He's been on teams that just haven't had any defense, that at times haven't been run well. I think the Raiders now are being run significantly better than the Lions. But I can deal with people that say, hey, you know, I don't like the way Derek plays, yada, 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 but it isn't a personal attack. What I don't get are the people who just attack him ruthlessly, personally. That makes no sense. We can disagree on Derek Carr. I think he is a winner. I've seen what Matthew Stafford endured in Detroit, and a lot of it is stuff that Derek has had to endure since he's been in the silver and black. Again, I don't think that's the case now, but I think in the past. But I respect people that can bring an opinion and not like a player, but it isn't personal.
Right.
There isn't a dad listening that if your daughter wanted to date someone like a Derek Carr that wouldn't be excited about that with his character and his integrity. And so when you want to attack Derek Carr personally, you lose all credibility with me. But if you wanted to make it about on the field, we can disagree and I can respect your opinion. So I see his point. I disagree with it because I've had a little bit more of a front row seat, but I understand it and I respect him for it.
Yeah, and the other thing I'll say too, Corey, on your call around the steroid point is with all due respect, I think you're completely wrong, because I will tell you why. If you eliminate any player who did anything quote unquote against the rules, illegal, whether it was steroids or other things, you would eliminate probably 70% of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, including many of your beloved Raiders who have admitted after the fact that they took things like uppers and downer uppers for games, they took steroids. So listen, you can go back and you can retrofit all you want and say, well, if a guy did this, then he shouldn't be even eligible for it. But if you did that, there'd be nobody. In the case of the Baseball Hall of Fame, it is a museum, so it should be representative of all things that happened in the sport, good, bad. You go to the Hall of Fame. I've been 3 times. You see the stuff about the racial stuff. You see the stuff about the Negro Leagues. Now they're going to be included in for selection of the Hall of Fame, which is about time. But to me, you can't take a hard line like that, because guess what happens? Then suddenly you're going to eliminate almost everybody. So we can agree to disagree on that one. But as always, man, we appreciate your call. Now, Hondo. Senior Bowl's going on. For those of us that are football starved, we're watching every minute that we can. We're talking about it, of course. But one of the things that happened this year, and an overflow from the COVID, which it looks like, I know the state of Nevada here, we continue on a downward trend, which is really great news. We're seeing that in other parts of the country too. But here's the deal. The NFL has canceled the in-person combine this year, which has become a big event for the NFL, a big viewing event, big advertising event, so in essence a moneymaker for them. We are not going to have the combine this year, which means NFL teams are going to have to evaluate players on senior pro days on college campuses or at the Senior Bowl if they are there, if they're a senior. When you look at this situation, Condo, and what this means for NFL teams, and we've been talking about this for months on this show, which is you're about to learn what franchises have very good scouting departments, because those people who have been on top of scouting for years and have built their staffs and resourced it correctly, they're going to do okay. There's still going to be more risk than usual. But Hondo, talk about that and what it means now for these teams without things like the combine.
Oh, I think it's absolutely huge. Teams that have been investing, you know, there are a lot of teams that go on the cheap. And I realize that this really surprises a lot of NFL fans because they don't, I mean, they all think, okay, our teams have these huge scouting departments. There are a lot of teams that go on the cheap. There are, as a matter of fact, later on this year, if you want, I think we should get Rick Goslin on the show, who is really the first guy to do the mock draft. He's a Hall of Fame voter. And, you know, I know for a fact the teams that have called him to get his evaluations of players. You know, there are some teams that go all in and spend millions and millions of dollars, and some that go cheap. And I think this is going to be the biggest year of all on the teams that play the, I mean, that scout the most, put the money in there. I'm excited to see this draft because I think it's going to be, when we go 10 years, when we get to 2031 and look back at this draft, I think we're going to be able to define franchises by this draft.
Absolutely. I agree with that. And this Senior Bowl, I think the Senior Bowl has gotten bigger and bigger each year, too. And when you look at what's going on down there this year, it's even more important because a lot of these scouting departments and Mike Mayock and John Gruden are down there. Of course, they coached the team a couple years ago. When you look at this, this is the only opportunity they've had since last year, since this time last year in the combine to see players up close and personal.
Yep, totally agree. And I think that what's going to happen is now it's not just getting out and scouting guys. Now it's going to be their relationships. You know, I know NFL teams that absolutely kiss the rear of college teams that go out, build great relationships, take coaches to dinner. When those coaches want to send their coaches to go learn in the offseason, those NFL coaches treat them like gold because they want those relationships with them. You're going to see the teams that have spent the money and the time building relationships, and it's going to pay off now bigger than it ever has.
It will. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get back to the phone. 702-365-9200 is the number. You're on with Hondo and Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back. Silver and Black Today. Hondo Carpenter, along with yours truly, Scott Colbranson. We're talking Raiders football. We're talking NFL football. We're even talking Baseball Hall of Fame. Because that's what we do. We're going to talk whatever the heck we want. Right, Hondo?
Absolutely.
All right, we're back now, and we're going to go right to the phones. He's been patient on the phone. That is Raider Mike. Raider Mike, you're on with Hondo and Scott. What's going on today, man?
What's up, gentlemen? Great show, as usual. Love your guys' commentary. You guys are usually spot on. As far as the Hall of Fame, I grew up in Oakland, saw those three straight World Series, and then the Yankees taking Reggie and Catfish and ending the glory, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I followed baseball my whole life. Pete Rose definitely deserves it. How can you not have the hit leader? And that's a joke. Always has been. Sure, he gambled on games. He's admitted it. Let's move on. Schilling, great ball player, went on the mound. Outside of the stadium, what an idiot. Okay. But the Hall of Fame should be judged for what you did on the field. Because Cobb actually went into a stands and beat up a handicapped guy. And he's in the Hall of Fame. So anyway, just some thoughts on there. I mean, that is such a volatile subject right now. And you got to get all those blue hairs out of the voting system. If they're not watching the guys, why are they voting? You know, it's just... it's pathetic. Yep. Move on to D.C. That's what I wear. I love D.C. Getting Stafford here is not an upgrade. They're the same quarterback. In fact, I think Carr's a little bit better. So anyway, there's no upgrade there. Just keep him out of Frisco and Denver. That's just speaking as a Raider fan.
Yeah,
and
those are two spots, Mike. I think you could end up.
Say that again, bud.
I said those are two spots I definitely could see him ending up.
I know, but I'm hoping someone else steps in. But anyway, Maybe Atlanta if they let go of Ryan because he's a Georgia kid. Who knows? We'll see. And lastly, I have to reiterate this every time on one of your shows. Brady, I'm going to have to pull for that first time in my life. One, because he's going to stick it to Belichick, who I hate as much as Brady. So it kind of cancels itself out. Can't have a Muppet, you know, starting a dynasty in the AFC West against us. I mean, you got Herbert coming up. Mahomes is already there. If he goes 2-0 right out of the chute like this, we got 15 years of misery. I don't know if I'll make it without putting a 45 in my head. So anyway.
Oh, boy. Mike, as always, man, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We go right back on the phone lines. It is Paris. Paris, you're on with Scott and Hondo here on Silver and Black today.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good.
Great, great. Well, hey, I just wanted to, first of all, let me, I want to get on the positive side of Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is extremely solid as a quarterback. And I'll tell you why. And it's interesting perspective. I'm originally from Wisconsin. I spent the majority of my life in Wisconsin, and I've lived here now in Vegas for a little bit over 10 years. I was a season ticket holder through my family, so I spent a lot of time going to a lot of Packer games. So my heart is with Green Bay, and I've always been a huge Raider fan, even when I was living back in Green Bay. But I had the pleasure of meeting John Gruden back in the day when he was in Green Bay. I had a relationship with Brett Favre through his wife, because his wife volunteered her time in Milwaukee at a rescue mission where I had a chance to get to know her along with Brett Favre. And I also had the opportunity to get to know Aaron Rodgers. And so when I think about Derek Carr and I had watching the way that he plays the game, a lot of my friends, they kind of chuckle a bit when I say I see a lot of similarities with his game and Brett Favre's game. The difference being is that Brett Favre had a little bit more flexibility to be himself in playing the game. And what's interesting to me is that I know John Gruden likes the guys to pound the ball. I think that's great, but you got to offer flexibility there when you have a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field. He can throw it short. He can do it, and he's a mobile quarterback. Is he as mobile as some of these other younger guys that are new into the league, that are better with their legs and their arms? Probably not, but he is a very solid quarterback that needs a little bit more flexibility to play the game. And I'm telling you, there was conversations also, I just want to jump in on this, about Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we should get Aaron Rodgers. I love Aaron Rodgers, but in terms of leadership, if you take leadership, because leadership is a key role as a quarterback, yep. I like the leadership of Derek Carr. Again, he reminds me a lot of Brett Favre from that perspective. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, Aaron Rodgers has leadership skills. He does, but he's also not a rah-rah guy to get guys going. And so with a younger generation, I think they need that leadership, right? And I think he has it. If you see how he does his interviews, whether it's, you know, after a game, before a game, I think he looks out for his guys in the right way, but he's not afraid to pull their coattail if they're doing something wrong, right? And that's what a leader is all about. But in terms of, we can talk about how, you know, off the field he's a great guy. On the field, yeah, there's some things that he needs to work on, but
sure.
There are other quarterbacks.
And Paris, hey,
yeah,
Paris, it's a great call, man. I'm sorry to cut you off. It's just we're coming up on a break. We got a hard stop here for top of the hour. But great call, and I agree. I mean, listen, I think Derek Carr did a lot to get better this year too. He used his legs more. Q and I have talked about that a lot on the show. So I agree with you there, and I think the Raiders can win with him. Could they upgrade a quarterback? You can always upgrade at every position. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the answer because I don't think they can afford him, and I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave the Packers. As much as people want to talk about it, I just don't think it's going to happen, but that's me. All right, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour. When we come back, we have Joey. We'll get you first right after the break, Joey, on the phone, and then we'll get to conversation around the NFL completing an entire season during the middle of a pandemic. It's the only sport to completely do that, so we'll talk about that. You're with Hondo Carpenter, Scott Gilbranson. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.